It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Chase Willey and D-Mace back. Let's go hear from Mike Vrabel.
In our run game, we have a lot of confidence in our runner. You know, we just have to make sure now that, you know, that we're all on the same page. You know, that we're blocking things the right way, that we're getting to the right guys. You know, the quarterback's getting us in the right play. And then once we do that, I think you're going to start to, you know, we're all going to start to see the plays that can complement each other and start to work against each other. We just have to. You know, you saw a little bit of what we wanted to be there in the first drive where I thought things were, you know, complementing each other and, you know, moving the football, converting. You know, Ryan had some good throws. You know, Derek had some good runs. Guys made some good plays for us. And then just kind of come back and just weren't able to sustain things.
Why were those toss sweeps in particular swarmed like they were every time it seemed?
They're fast. Yeah, you know, they're fast, and we thought we could get the edge. We thought we could, you know, those plays have helped us. You know, those plays have helped us and in the past, and you know, for a number of different reasons. You know, those things. You know, when you try to circle them up and try to pin them inside and get guys around on the edge, you know, everything has to be perfect and. You know, it wasn't, and it doesn't have to be perfect, excuse me, but we just have to make sure that we're getting guys around there and, you know, those guys running inside. You know, we have to make sure we try to get the guys inside, and we've had success running those perimeter plays.
Does that change when Luan's out with the speed element on the edge?
No, I mean, we've had plays that were, you know, positive. I mean, we gained one there 9 yards later on, so they weren't all dead. You know, they weren't all for negative gains. I think we gained one for 9 yards later in the game.
Does the same thought process that keeps you from getting too comfortable when you win keep you from overreacting when you lose?
I think probably that's fair. I think we just have to get back. And again, these guys were ready to go. I've asked them to, you know, put this behind us as quickly as possible. It's difficult. It's never a great experience losing on the road, losing in a big game, losing in the manner in which we lost it. We have to move on. I think the guys that have been in here today so far have tried to do that and get back to work and get back to work together. Do it together with all of us, the coaching staff, the players, you know, working together.
Caleb Front, are we still seeing some evidence maybe of his lack of playing time for the last couple of years? Or do you expect?
I think there's a lot of new experiences. I think there's a lot of you know, things that are coming to him, and you know, there's some good plays and some plays that he'd like to have back. And you know, I think it's just a continual process of playing and understanding what happens in this league.
Time to wait
along,
on that, Mike?
Do you think than he is at this point, or is this kind of where you expected him at this point?
Well, I don't have, you know, great expectations for anybody. The expectations are the same, that they come in and they work, they prepare, they give us everything that they have, and they try to execute, you know, their job and their role. And so, you know, I think that seeing Caleb, there were some good plays and some plays that, you know, I think have to be better. But that goes with a lot of guys.
Sorry.
That's
you
okay.
You said you didn't want to be about coaching talent. Don't you need more talent last night? Isn't Trey Avery not ready for what you asked him to do last night?
I think, you know, when you go into games, you just try to put the guys in the best positions, you know, to make plays. You try to make sure that they know what to do, that they're confident. And again, whoever we put out there, we have confidence in. They're in the, they're on this team for a reason. We'll continue to look for guys, whether they're here on our practice squad, here on our roster, or on somebody else's roster. It's just a, it's a long process throughout this season.
Does your talent match their talent?
Well, that's, you know, I mean, they beat us pretty soundly. We have to make sure that we're doing the things that contribute to our success. And it's not, you know, giving up big plays. It's not turning the football over. It's not, you know, mishandling punts. You know, all those things that showed up last night that make things snowball.
Defensively, you guys, much of what you do is predicated off the pass rush. What were they doing last night in particular to kind of neutralize that rush and not allow you to get to Allen very often?
You know, during the game, you know, we had 3rd and 9. We got to him, and he was able to get out of there. I felt like we executed up until the point where he, you know, scrambled and gained 10 yards. You know, the ball came out quick, and then, you know, the other times they blocked us and were able to move the ball down the field. They did a nice job, you know, on the RPOs where he pulled it and got rid of the ball, you know, efficiently and pretty quickly. And, you know, we have to make, you know, continue to find ways to affect the quarterback, impact them. We did it. Again, there were times where you look at the game plan, talking about not letting them out, trying to affect him, trying to tip some passes. You know, we did, but then there were numerous other times where we didn't do a good enough job.
Can you play to the offensive identity you've been known for and want to play to with the roster you currently have?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we, you know, we are going to do. You know, we are. We have to understand who we are and what we believe in, what we've had success in the past. This isn't all of a sudden the time for wholesale changes. You know, I mean, this is about, you know, getting back to the basics and what we believe in, what we've had success in, and making sure that everybody sees it the same way that I do. You know, I think we're gonna make sure that we're doing less better. You know, instead of trying to do a whole bunch of other stuff, we're gonna get back to doing things with fundamentals and technique and trying to make sure that everybody understands the details.
With these two games that you have under your belt, you know, the process with Tim Kelly and Todd Downing, how has that been, you know, the week leading up to the game, then also during the game? How has that process been for you?
Teron, no process that we've had has been good enough on offense, on defense, or special teams. So, you know, whether it's Chase and Auk, whether it's Timmy and Todd, whether it's Shane and defensive staff, Jim, me, whoever, none of it's been good enough. You know, I mean, when you lose, we all could do more. You know, everybody has to come in here a little bit better with our approach, just kind of continue to focus on all the little things and just trying to bring somebody along with us. You know, we all get in this mode where it's like, oh man, I feel now's not the time for self-preservation. This is the time for, you know, rallying around each other, getting, you know, with the people that you believe in, the people that you trust.
So with that being said, so many fans, they say, hey, you know, as soon as something goes wrong, it's like, hey, fire Coach Downing. How do you respond to that?
That's just not, you know, I mean, if I felt like there was anybody that, you know, wasn't doing their job, you know, and we're just not going to do that. That's not something that's going to happen right now. I have confidence in our staff. I have confidence in the guys that we put out there. We have to continue to coach and execute better. But that's, you know, that's just not where we're, you know, that's, I appreciate everybody's, you know, opinion. I have to make sure that, you know, everybody here, that players and coaches are all aligned, and I know that they are, and that's how you get things fixed and you win a game.
You continue with Kyle as the punt returner after two muffs in two games?
You know, I think that those are some decisions that will probably, you know, take place as the week goes on, kind of seeing, you know, how he feels and what, you know, what Craig and I decide. But, you know, we'll see where that's at. You know, that's just, you know, he's helped us and done a really nice job, unfortunately. like you said, you know, the two muffs in the last 2 weeks.
You consider, I guess, a lot of things on the offensive line, depending on Taylor and maybe has Nicholas Petit for your play. Could you potentially bump him to left?
Well, I think we would consider everything at this point in time, Jim, with every position group.
How's that group done? Where are the failings specifically, Mike?
You know, they're all over the place, all over everybody's, the coaching staff, the roster. It's not just, you know, one guy. You know, I mean, there's guys that are playing well. We get something blocked up and, you know, one guy doesn't get to his landmark or the back's cut, the receiver's blocked. Like, you know, this isn't like time to sit there and say, well, this is where the, you know, we're failing. We just have to make sure that we've got a group of eight linemen that are up for the game, that understand what the game plan is and how we need to execute it. You know, there were some really good plays. I thought that we handled the cadence in a tough environment. You know, we just couldn't sustain and get anything going there after the first drive. And, you know, the penalty is unfortunate. We hit some really cool plays. I mean, we converted a third and extra long where three guys. I thought that was a great scheme. I thought great execution. The guys were all doing their job, you know, helping Traylon. It was well-timed, well-executed, you know, well-designed. So we need more plays like that, just hopefully not on third and 15 or whatever it was.
In terms of sticking to your identity, Mike, as you mentioned earlier, I mean, 2 weeks into the season, there's only so much you can change, right? You can't overhaul a complete offense 2 weeks into the season, right?
Well, that's just not, you know, I mean, that's not where we're at right now. We're at, you know, focused on Vegas and how they, you know, can attack us and, you know, their edge players and Jones and Max and, you know, their ability to, you know, bring safeties and the pressure and the different looks and, you know, different coverages, split safety, post safety, the versatility. Obviously, offensively, what they have, the weapons that they have, the skill players that they have, and, you know, that's where our focus is. Our focus is who's available, who might be able to help us, and what can we get and what can we teach them.
Is Taylor's injury a season ender, and is it the same leg that he hurt before?
As of now, I don't really have any updates on that. I think we're still going through some evaluation. We'll try to keep you updated on that as it comes.
How about Bud?
I don't think it's anything long term.
After the start, Mike, how much building or rebuilding of confidence do you have to do in there?
Well, I think confidence is something that comes from repeated action. You know, starting with practice. You know, we believe practice is important. The things that you do in practice will lead to game reality. And we just have to make sure that we're executing those plays in practice. So we're drilling them. We're working them. You know, and then just making sure that we're showing guys. We haven't lost confidence or faith in what we're doing or what we've done. That's not going to happen or the players that we have. So excited to get back to work.
Despite the start being underwhelming, not what you had hoped for, is there a sense of maybe some optimism or a little bit more confidence with things in the division not going well for some?
I don't want us to do that. You know, I mean, I thought about that. I don't want us to look around at anything outside this building. I want us to focus on the people that are here, the people on our staff, the players, the coaches, because this is really what's going to get it done. This is what it's going to turn it around. Not looking around and seeing what everybody else is doing. We have to focus really on what we're doing.
Can Traylon take another step forward, maybe as a potential playmaker in the pass game?
I mean, he did some good things. We'll need to continue to work on some things as well. You know, I think there were good efforts from pretty much everybody, but there were just not enough of them. You know, we just didn't get going or didn't play the game complimentary enough, obviously.
If they're good efforts from everybody, does that make it more discouraging?
They weren't consistent enough. You know, they just weren't consistent enough. You know, getting those stops, coming back, trying to answer, needing to answer, you know, giving up the touchdown, you know, having the penalty come back, the difference in yardage and then the fourth down. You know, just those are key plays in the game that, you know, can really swing it, and then just the way that we weren't able to get going there in the second half coming out.
What are some of those things maybe about Burks that you're seeing some of those good things in terms of his progression?
I think he's trying to play faster. I think he's playing bigger. He's got to play through contact more. I mean, they were on him pretty tight there on the backside. Ryan tried to come to him. So just, he's playing, he's trying to run. He's trying to, he's been good with the football, as far as tracking it and trying to go get it. So we'll see where it goes this week and what his opportunities are.
Mike, with the penalties, you've been a pretty good team as far as not doing the dumb shit to hurt the team. Maybe a combination? Is it maybe a combination of so much youth on the roster these first 2 weeks?
No, I mean, I think there was some, the PI, we grab him inside his collar and, holding, he beats us across their face. We grab him at the point of contact. Some of these things, those aren't necessarily dumb. I felt like if we're out there throwing punches or we're the second guy in, those things, or we're hitting a guy 2 yards out of bounds late, or a quarterback that's already slid that we're hitting in the head or neck, I would consider those things avoidable. Some of those things that are out there that happen in the course of a play, those are going to happen, and we'll have to work through them, and we have. But we have to have better discipline at the line of scrimmage, working some of the cadence when they're trying to, in those situations to get us to jump. When guys are echoing it, just being able to lock in and focus and concentrate.
What's the point of Josh Gordon if he's getting 2 snaps before halftime?
He can't always determine the way that the game is going to play out and what we're going to do. So we'll see where his role is this week.
Close enough, you could have gotten a review there?
Talking to Stretch, it looks like the replay was, that he hadn't caught it. I didn't think he caught it clean the first time, But, I was hoping that he caught it the first time.
Look forward to seeing Josh on the other sideline this weekend?
Go way back with Josh, obviously, growing up in Northeast Ohio. He's a excellent football coach, somebody that I was able to see grow as a player, and then go on as his coaching career as I kind of got into mine, and he's done a fantastic job, and I'm sure he'll have his football team ready. Thanks, guys.
Mike Vrabel, Titans head coach, addressing the media there, and look, Teresa Walker, I know it's your birthday, but I don't need you dropping words like that.
Hey, listen, man, it got so bad last night. Y'all got Teresa dropping that bomb, man. I mean, that's what is really bad.
There's something that stood out to me during that press conference. We'll discuss several things that he said, and you can also weigh in on our phone and text line, 615-737-1025. We continue your reaction to the Titans' 41-7 loss to the Bills last night on Monday Night Football. Next, 1025, 1063, The Game.
With that being said, so many fans, they say, hey, as soon as something goes wrong, it's like, hey, fire Coach Downing. How do you respond to that?
That's just not, if I felt like there was anybody that, wasn't doing their job, we're just not going to do that. That's not something that's going to happen right now. I have confidence in our staff. I have confidence in the guys that we put out there. We have to continue to coach and execute. Better, but that's just not where we're, that's, I appreciate everybody's, opinion. I have to make sure that, everybody here, that players and coaches are all aligned, and I know that they are, and that's how you get things fixed and you win a game.
Mike Vrabel on potential coaching changes in his press conference just now. Welcome back in, Chase Willie and D-Mace. 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. We'll take your reaction, 615-737-1025. Phone or text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So that was an obvious. He's saying, right now he doesn't feel like it's the time to do that. But here's the big thing that stood out to me, Derek. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a few of you have already pointed this out on the text line as well. I felt like we were going to get snippy, angry Vrabel today.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't. That was a guy that sounded exhausted, sounded maybe a little surprised that they're in this position. Was honestly showing his human side of, hey, I'm frustrated too, but was almost showing a little patience and knew that he kind of had to stand in there and just take it, and he did. And there have been times, and you know, the Arizona loss last year was pretty bad. I feel like there was one of the Patriots that was pretty bad. You were talking about that earlier, mm-hmm. But this is a really, really bad loss. And he just kind of, I don't think he sounded defeated, mm-hmm. but he definitely sounded like a guy that, you know, had been beat up, you know? And I was surprised by that, because usually, you know, he'll like play better, coach better, get snippy, don't do dumb bleep to hurt the team. Thank mm-hmm. you, Teresa, for saying that. But, you know, stuff like that. And he just kind of stood in there and took it. You know, I thought he gave some better answers. Like, he was asked a few times about any changes, and he said, I don't think it's time for wholesale changes mm-hmm. yet. They're 0-2. And I said that earlier. I don't think it's time to fire anybody yet. But, you know, the answer he gave about potential staff changes kind of mm-hmm. left the door open, I think. If things don't get better, that's probably going to happen, because mm-hmm. he knows he's going to have to at that point. But that was a different Vrabel than I'm used to. You know, and I liked it. Like, I thought he stood there and just answered the questions to the best that he could.
Well, yeah, I mean, Vrabel has never been.
Jeff said that was humbled Vrabel. That's the word. He mm-hmm. sounded humbled.
I don't think Vrabel has ever been, you know, that coach since he's been here. He has a certain demeanor, and he's going to win, lose, or draw. He's that demeanor is going to show up with him. He's one of those guys that he doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. He tries to keep everything in perspective. Yes, he wants his guys to play better. That's every week, win or lose. He wants his guy to play better. This press conference sounded more like a head coach that knows that his team, the roster, isn't good enough to beat a Buffalo Bill team. So he's not mm-hmm. going to sit up here and be screaming and yelling. He knows this is a roster that, if you're talking about the upper echelon teams in AFC, they're not on that level this year. They're just not. Especially now with the few injuries that they have. They're just not on that level. So he's not trying to squeeze orange juice out of an apple or whatever it is, because it's not going to happen. You know, he understands the ball club that he has, and he's trying to coach that ball club accordingly. And he knows that, listen, if I get up here and rant and rave and do all this other stuff, it's not helping anyone. But one thing I do like that he did, and this is why I didn't, you know, people talked about Downey, oh, yeah, he stood up. No, nah. This is what I like about Vrabel. He's not going to throw anybody by name under the bus. But what he's going to say is, listen, things need to get better. Players need to do their assignments. Players need to do what we're asking them to do. You know, if it calls for you on a certain play to step outside. You know, if it calls for you to do this, block down. He didn't name anybody. He just said, we got to do the things as players. He didn't say players, but we have to go out and we must execute in a fashion that is going to win us ball games, not put us behind the eight ball. What Downing did was bad. It was bad. I don't need a offensive coordinator second guessing himself on a play which was the right play.
Right.
You got pressure from everybody outside of that building. Maybe a few in that building. So you had to step
up. I think there's pressure inside.
It's my fault. No, it wasn't. It was the right call, man. They didn't block it right. Vrabel says it every week. Listen, if we do the things, if they do the things that is asked of them, then more than likely play works. It may not hit a home run, but we're not going to get any negative yards. But when you don't do what we're asking you, then you give the play no chance to work. He didn't say, no, that was a bad call by me on hindsight 2020. Maybe I should have did this. Maybe I shouldn't have took Ryan Tannehill out the game. No, that's not how he operates. Because he understands that this is a team game.
Right.
I'm not going to second guess myself as a head coach. I don't expect our players to second guess themselves. Just do the – if we coach the way we – If we go out and coach the way we're supposed to coach, and if you do what we're asking you to do, then we'll have some success. It's not, you know, you can't, it's not one or the other. Both of them have to exist on the same plane. I just didn't like what Downing did the other day. He showed me, and this may not be true, and it's only me, but he showed me that he doesn't have a strong backbone when it comes to calling plays.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
Because he don't believe in himself.
If that's the case, like, and that sucks, but if that's the case, he doesn't need to be the offensive coordinator.
But what he has to realize, Downey, he doesn't have the personnel. He don't. You don't have the personnel to do what you want to do.
Right.
You just don't. People, look at
and
their
again,
roster
that's
on
why
offense.
He doesn't need to be the OC.
He doesn't have the – you can bring any OC in here. This roster, this person, the personnel on offense is not good enough to do what we want them to do.
Right, but I think there are some offensive coordinators that they know the limitations that they have, mm-hmm. and so therefore they can dumb it down. I'll give you a prime example. Mm-hmm. Sean McVay became the golden child of the NFL mm-hmm. because he knew that he had a quarterback that probably couldn't run everything that he wanted to run. Mm-hmm. And so he dumbed it down for him. And he was able to get the most out of Jared Goff and even get to a Super Bowl. They didn't win it, but they got there because he was smart enough to realize that he had to work with what he had. Ken Whisenhunt was a terrible head coach and a decent offensive coordinator, but a terrible head coach because he wanted to come in here and he wanted to do his offense, and it didn't matter if it was Jake Locker or Marcus Mariota, he wanted them to run it, and he ran Jake Locker out of the league because he would not adjust to the personnel. He wanted them to adjust to him, and they're not good enough to adjust to him. Mm-hmm. I think Todd Downing, it's a little bit of, like you just said, he wants to do certain things that he's been taught how to do and he knows how to do in scheme, but he doesn't have the horses to do it, and he won't adjust to the horses that he had.
Because if he adjusts, they won't get anything out of this offense at this particular moment. What is there? I mean, I know what you're saying, Chase. I understand what you're saying, and we can talk more in depth about it. It's not like I don't get what you're saying, because I do, but I do want to explain a little bit more.
Okay, we'll continue this conversation. Some of you are weighing in on our text line, 615-737-1025. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 106, read the game.
These two games that you have under your belt, you know, the process with Tim Kelly and Todd Downing, how has that been, you know, the week leading up to the game, then also during the game? How has that process been for you?
Teron, no process that we've had has been good enough on offense, on defense, or special teams. So, you know, whether it's Chase and Auk, whether it's Timmy and Todd, whether it's Shane and defensive staff, Jim, me, whoever, none of it's been good enough. You know, I mean, when you lose, we all could do more. You know, everybody has to come in here a little bit better with our approach, just kind of can continue to focus on all the little things and just trying to bring somebody along with us. You know, we all get in this mode where it's like, oh, man, I feel now's not the time for self-preservation. This is the time for, you know, rallying around each other, getting with the people that you believe in, the people that you trust.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel just a few minutes ago, now's not the time for self-preservation or wholesale changes as well. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. taking your reaction on our text line and our phone line, 615-737-1025. So Kevin's mad at me on our text line. He says, I'm not listening to you. he says, no, dude, you're missing the boat. D-Mace is 100. This ain't no damn LA Rams. Our roster freaking sucks. You're one of these fanboys that thinks because you've had a good record the last few years, we're a good team. The roster was not great after the offseason and injuries. The roster absolutely sucks. Downing isn't great, but he doesn't have the talent. Listen to Mason. He was a freaking player. He knows what he's saying. Downing ain't good, but this roster sucks. If Floyd were here, he would tell you the roster sucks. LaJuan is washed up. Jones is almost washed up. The whole offensive line is a joke. Nate Davis is a good player who needs great players around him right now. He's our best lineman. I said, you clearly didn't just hear me say he doesn't have the horses and he doesn't know how to adjust without having the horses. The reason I brought up McVay was not about the entire LA Rams roster. I know this team is not the LA Rams, and I know that they don't have that roster. I know the roster isn't good. We've talked about it for 2.5 freaking hours of how the roster isn't good. But if you know that, you have to have coaches that can adjust to that the best they can. I realize there's only a limit that you can get. But some of the stuff that Todd Downing wants to run does not work for this team. You have to adjust to your players. And you have to run. That's exactly what you just said. So I am listening to you. I agree with you. So, Kevin, open your damn ears, all right? Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And I miss Floyd every day.
Yeah, this roster, it's not – there's only so much Downing can do. He wants to do more, and he tries to do more, but I think they've realized – and listen, Vrabel said it too. Maybe you got to – you know, he said it somewhere in there where – listen, maybe we gotta get back to fundamentals. We got to, you know, maybe change some things, you know, play calling and whatnot. But the offensive coordinator is only as good as, you know, the players, you know, executing it. If you execute the play, then it's a great play caller. If you don't execute the plays, then he's a horrible play caller. Now there's a thing called the middle, you know, where if I do have some players, I have to do my part as an offensive coordinator and scheme those guys open. You talked about McVay. Well, McVay is in the middle with them. He's not the greatest play caller in the world, but he's not the worst either. But he has a roster that has a good Very quarterback, true. Yeah, a good quarterback, a really, really good receiver, and some complimented receivers that goes along with that receiver.
I even think that roster right now today
has some
issues.
Yeah, they have issues.
Now,
last year,
he had a much better roster. Exactly. And I was referencing 2016 when they went to the Super Bowl and they lost to the Patriots. He had Jared Goff. He had a much better roster around Jared Goff than they do here with Tannehill.
But in that season, Jared Goff did, if I'm not mistaken, he did throw for like
35
or 4,000. He threw for a lot of
yards. He did. He had a really good season. But that's because the head coach / offensive coordinator adjusted to the player. That's what I'm saying. And I'm not saying if Downing adjusted to this roster that they'd go win the Super Bowl. Absolutely not. We are in agreement that this roster is, I almost said what Teresa said, crappy. It's not very good right now. Now, do I think there are some things that could help it get better? Absolutely. But they're not to that point yet.
No, they're not. This, believe me, this thing can turn around. I recall, you know, I think it was my second or third year in Baltimore, and the offense was inept. It wasn't, we were not moving the ball the way that we thought we should have. Well, after, it was right before the bye week or so, Billick ended up taking over, you know, the play calling. I think they relieved the offensive coordinator of his duties. I think they believe they fired him. And he took over. And instantly we became a better offense. Why, I don't know. It could have been play calling. It could have just been, you know, guys needed a fresh, you know, just a fresh face or whatnot. But the offense got better. And did Billick start, did Billick change some things from an offensive standpoint? Yes, he did change some things. He saw what he had on offense, and he sort of tailored what he wanted to do to the guys sure. he had on offense. So
and
when you say that, it does. It, sometimes an offensive coordinator just has to be honest with himself.
Right.
And the head coach must be honest with the whole coaching staff.
And I think he is. Uh-huh. And this is where I'm gonna applaud him. Like, again, I don't think it's time to go fire the coaching staff and, mm-hmm. and make changes. Like, I'm trying to convey that. Mm-hmm. That's not what I believe. I think Vrabel said it best in the press conference. Like, this is not the time to woe is me self-reflection. Mm-hmm. We got to get to work and we got to fix this. But I don't think it's time to get rid of somebody after two games. We just got to do our jobs better. Mm-hmm. And he's taking ownership. And that's what I appreciated about his demeanor in the press conference mm-hmm. today, that he did sound exhausted. He sounded like a guy that just gotten out of a fight and got his ass kicked.
Uh-huh.
And he's recognizing that, and he wants to be the one to try and fix it.
Yep.
And I applaud that. And I think, to everyone's point about the roster and going with what they have, now they have some key injuries that could hurt them mm-hmm. too, that I recognize that. But now it's just get back to basics. And I think Vrabel even used that phrase. It's time to get back to basics, mm-hmm. look at what we have, and see if we can get the best out of this group. The question is, what is the best that you can get out of this roster?
With the way they're going now, this is not an offense that's going to score 30 points a game. This is not an offense that's going to score 28 points a game. Hell, this is not an offense that's going to score 24 points a game. This is an offense, as it's constructed now with what they're trying to do, this is a 17 to 21 point type of offense. That's just what it is. They don't have enough playmakers on that side of the ball, starting with that offensive line. I know offensive linemen don't catch passes and don't run it. So when I mean playmakers, I mean guys that can just legitimately shut the person down in front of them. Meaning, you know, Taylor Lewan 3 years ago, before the knee injury, he was a playmaker because he can handle the left side or those ends by himself. Roger Saffold, when he was here, he was a playmaker because he was a road grader. He just clears people out. He was great at run blocking. He's good at pass blocking as well. Jack Conklin, he was a playmaker. Why? Because he can command that right side. So they don't have enough of those guys on the front line. They don't have enough of those guys in the tight end room. They don't have enough of those guys in the receiver room. And they're not getting enough production out of the run game. And I don't blame that on Derrick Henry. Contrary to what people want to say, or because of the foot and all this other stuff, he's not even getting an opportunity at times to get in the line of scrimmage. Go back to 2017, 2018, before he blew up, and see what was happening to him then. The same things that are happening to him now. He can't even get started. Okay? So this is a guy that needs to get going. He can't stop his feet and then get going. You know?
Right.
Riddick talked about that yesterday. Buffalo, about how Buffalo was making him stop because they were getting so much penetration. A big guy like that, once he stopped his feet, it's hard to get him to going again. So they just don't have no playmaker. They just don't have enough playmakers on offense, from the offensive line to the receivers to the tight ends. They got one in the backfield, and that's Derrick Henry. But because of the offensive line has none, he's going to suffer.
Yep. 615-737-1025. We'll continue this coming up next. A lot of reaction to the Titans today. 1025-1063 the game. Chase William D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game, 615-737-1025. We will continue the reaction all day long. Stillman & Company starting at 2 o'clock. Also coming up at 1:15, your shot to win Elton John tickets. We will talk to Clark Lee today, Vanderbilt football coach, as he will join us. His team 3-1. on the season. So a very good start.
Had a good win last week.
To the season for them. But let's go to the phone, 615-737-1025. Adam has been waiting patiently. Adam, welcome in.
Hey, Chase, man. This is the first I've got to listen to anything today, but I can imagine what the conversations have looked like. I'm on two ends of this, man. Number one, I'm thinking if anybody's calling for Ty Downey's job, what are we going to do if they fire him? We still have to start two young people who are just going to be confused at that point. I don't think that's the solution at all. I love you saying that horses are what we're needing. We're absolutely needing that. I think on the other end, the Bills are going to make a lot of people feel like they have to blow their roster up and fire their whole staff. So I would be more concerned that you blew a lead against the Giants. I think the Bills are going to hurt a lot of people's feelings. They beat the Super Bowl champions by 3 touchdowns, and you know, to open the season at the Super Bowl champions' house. So I don't hit the panic button yet, man, but we've got to start reeling a couple of little ones together for sure.
Appreciate the call, Adam. I agree. Look, I'm not hitting it either. That's why I'm going to keep emphasizing. I'm not saying fire anybody today.
Yeah.
But I'm saying adjustments have to be made, and that goes for the head coach, the assistant, the coordinators, the assistant coaches, the players that are starters, the players that are depth pieces, the general manager, the scouting staff. That's everybody. Everybody is responsible, and everybody is taking responsibility. And that's exactly how it should be. Now, when I say they don't have the horses right now today, I question the horses. I think you got some that probably need to be put out to pasture. You got some that, you know, are Colts and they haven't developed yet. Not Indianapolis Colts, but they haven't developed yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Treylon Burks, in the small, small sample size that I've seen, can be a really good player. Maybe he can be a great player. He might be as good as A.J. Brown. He might not be as good as A.J. Brown. But you know what, Derek? I can't tell you definitively after two games if that's the case or not. But to your point and what you've been saying, have you got to scheme him open? They did that a couple of times last night. I liked what I saw. So could he be what they want him to be and be a true number one receiver at some point in time soon? Sure, he could. Time will tell. Yeah. And if that's the case, then you're going to get what you hoped for with Robert Woods when you traded for him, because you had traded for him to be a complimentary piece to A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. But you don't have that right now. And I still don't regret trading A.J. Brown. I think they made the right move when they did it because of the reasons that they did it for.
Yeah.
So, but you have to understand that when you do something like that, you are going to take a couple of steps back to take maybe 3 or 4 steps forward in the long run. And I think that was the idea that John Robinson had with that move. I liked a little bit of what I saw from Hassan Haskins last night. The offensive line in front of him and Henry has got to improve. You do that, it changes some things. You know, if Taylor Lewan comes back healthy, we'll see. Obviously, you know, you're kind of stuck with what you have in certain spots. Petit Frere, I think, is going to continue to get better. You know, you've said it. You think he can be a good player. He's young. He's not there yet. So, but we knew that. We knew that going in, and that's where, you know, you talk about the roster. The roster can improve as some of these young players develop. It's just not going to happen overnight.
It's not. And from an offensive standpoint, this is a young team. They got 10 rookies, and I know all 10 of them don't start or whatnot, but they got 10 rookies on this team on the offensive side of the ball. The quarterback, Robert Woods, Ben Jones, and Taylor, because I think Taylor's in his ninth. Those are the most veteran guys that you have on the offensive side of the ball. This offense is young, and they're not good enough just yet. You would have hoped that these third and fourth year guys on offense picked up on the system and were ready to go. But it seems like, for whatever reason, they're having problems, in these past two games. Again, I've said this roster, I mean, this team can, you know, go and end up winning 10 games, end up winning 11 games. I don't know. But I am only I'm only judging this team by where they are at now and what they've shown the last two games against an inferior opponent and obviously an opponent that was just much better than them. And here's the problem.
And that is fair to point it out.
Exactly. You had a bad team and a good, really, really good team. And you play basically the same way against both of them. In the second half, you played bad against a bad team, and they end up winning. Why? Because you didn't do the things necessarily to get you that victory. There was attention to detail wasn't there. There were missed assignments. There were guys doing their own thing. And what happens at the end? You lose by a field goal. Okay? Yes, you blame Bullock, but it ain't all on Bullock. Okay? And then this game, it's not that you lost this game. Losing is going to happen. You know, the Miami Dolphins that went, 16-0 and the New England Patriots that went 16-0 during the season, they're not around anymore, okay? But this team that you put out there this past Monday, there was no fight in them. Since Vrabel's been here,
I don't know if I'm going to agree with
you there. No. Because Buffalo's good. They are good. But the Titans are not. The Buffalo made the Titans like a horrible team.
Right.
The roster,
because they were outmatched.
Yes. The roster's not good, but I expected this team to come out, a Vrabel coach team to come out and play. And they didn't. Those little things that were winning them games that they were doing last season, it seems like they're not doing those little things anymore. They're not the paying attention to detail, the staying in your lane, the blocking down when a play is called for you to block down.
I know a lot of people that need to stay in their lane. But.
They're not doing those things that's going to help them win. Even if they did everything right, I don't think they would have beat the Bills, because I think the Bills are just that team. But it wouldn't have been 47. It wouldn't have been 41-7. It wouldn't have looked that embarrassing.
I want to continue this. And Matt, hang with us, because I want you to weigh in as well. I know you've been waiting patiently, but I got a little bit of pushback on some of that. Coming up next, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. But you know what? After last night today, I might need a Screwball peanut butter whiskey, because it is my go-to. As you know, whether it's a drink or a shot, I like a chilled shot. That's how I roll. It goes down smooth. It's always a hit with the crowd. And even if you're like, man, I don't know, I've never had this, you try it. A lot of people say that they love it. It's made with real peanuts, real peanut butter, and, of course, real whiskey. And it's the most awarded peanut butter whiskey in the world. You can have it as an espresso martini, a peanut butter old-fashioned, a PB&J shot with a berry liqueur. It doesn't matter. Like I said, it goes down smooth. And it is an original, just like me. Go to screwballwhiskey.com for more information. So when you're out and about at your favorite watering hole, ask for it by name. Say, I want a Screwball peanut butter whiskey like the suit. And also do like I do. Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2022 Screwball Spirits LLC, San Diego, California. Whiskey with natural flavors. 35% alcohol by volume.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No